Good evening to you, and a very warm welcome, especially to the moms. Happy Mother's Day. Dads, I ask that you take responsibility for the children tonight. Allow the moms to go uninterrupted through the sermon. That would be a good thing for you to do. And Emma, I apologize that I'm not there to do that for you. Now, as I pondered tonight, I was thinking to myself, what would be the best gift that I could give to the mums? And it was actually quite obvious. Brendan, be short. Be short. Your kids are tired, kids are cranky. And the last thing mums need today is for me to preach way too long. Okay, so that's my goal. And I promise you, this will be the shortest sermon that I've preached at Condell Park. Our motherhood has never been an easy task. It is incredibly demanding and draining. It requires every ounce of energy and efforts. It stresses and it strains. It can be very lonely and it can be very monotonous. Same thing day after day. Mums certainly do not have an easy task. When mums are on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there is no clocking off, there is no stress leave, that there is no sick or holiday leave. Mums have to keep soldiering on no matter what is happening within their own lives. It is incredibly demanding, and mothers deserve our utmost respect, for they are undertaking what is a most noble and worthwhile task, raising the next generation. And yet we live in a time where it certainly is not easy to be a mother. For one is scorned, mocked, and ridiculed if a lady decides that her children, that her family is her number one priority. Oh, Satan has done a marvelous job of infiltrating our society by attacking the family unit. And he's done this in a multitude of ways, one being attacking biblical motherhood. The thought of a lady placing her household before a career or some other pursuit, as per biblical teaching, is viewed as archaic and oppressive. Now, please understand, the Bible isn't against a mother or a lady pursuing a career. In fact, it encourages it. But here is the difference. The Bible teaches that a lady's primary responsibility and priority after God is her home. Her husband and her children should always come before a career or other pursuits. Now, this claim would have me hung in the public square, but that's okay because this is God's design. And I believe God knows best. And hence, it is challenging for mothers in our society. They are already undertaking a monumental task that requires everything that they have to give. But added to this is the fact that society is certainly not supportive. But mums, let me assure you, society may frown at you putting your family first, but God smiles. Society devalues, but God exalts motherhood. And you can accomplish much more eternal good in the home than you can in other pursuits. Making motherhood a priority is noble and it is biblical. It is my desire to exalt motherhood and to encourage you and endeavor to implement biblical practices to assist you in a sermon entitled The Mentoring Ministry of Motherhood. So we're going to consider two texts of Scripture, focusing on the vital mentoring by mums and of mums. So firstly, mums mentoring children. Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you're not there already, I'd like to read verses 14 and 15. The word of God says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The books of Timothy and Titus are known as the pastoral epistles, meaning they were written to individual pastors rather than entire congregations like most of the other epistles we have in the New Testament. Timothy was pastoring in the city of Ephesus, and he had quite a challenging task on his hands. This was a very difficult congregation. There was false teaching, persecution was rife. And it's evident that Timothy experienced his fair share. And this is the context in which our text fits. The Apostle Paul is endeavoring to encourage his young protege to remain steadfast in the face of persecution. A persecution which was coming in the form of evil men who were striving to seduce the congregation. Now, the apostle endeavors to be an instrument of encouragement. He begins in verse 10 by reminding Timothy that he himself had endured persecution. And he gives some specific examples in verse 11. Now, that this was designed to encourage Timothy and to confront the thinking that often plagues our minds when things are tough. We can start thinking, you know, I'm the only person in the world who is going through something hard. No one else has ever gone through this. But Paul ensures Timothy that, you know, he has also suffered and he is suffering. And then Paul offers a promise. And it's one that we probably don't enjoy. You know, most Bible promises are wonderful for us. We love them, that they're a great source of comfort and blessing. But listen to the promise in verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's like, oh man, we don't want that promise. It's not a fun promise, but nevertheless, it's true. It's true. And then it's within this context that Paul then launches into an exhortation that Timothy would continue, that he would remain steadfast, that as the waves of persecution belted him, that he would stand firm. And Paul wants him to stand firm in the things that he has learnt, that this referring to the scriptures. Notice in verse 14, it says, of whom thou hast learnt. So whom, that this is a plural word. And then in the next verse we read, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So from a child there was a plurality of influence who had exemplified and had taught Timothy the scriptures. And if we were to turn back to 2 Timothy 1:5, a verse that Pastor Christie mentioned, we would see that his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice, these two dear ladies, had saturated Timothy in the scriptures. The word translated child in verse 15 is interesting. There's a few Greek words for child. The one used here is brephos. And this word was used, in some contexts, to speak of an unborn baby. So what this is stressing is that from the earliest possible stage, these ladies had taught the scriptures. Or that they hadn't waited until Timothy was in high school, or they didn't even wait till he'd started kindergarten, but rather from the earliest time of comprehension, he was immersed in the Word of God. The Greek word translated learned in verse 14 is mentheno. And the Greek word for disciple is mathetes. So hopefully you can hear that similarity. Mentheno, mathetes. These words are from the same family. So we could say that Lois and Eunice discipled Timothy. They practiced discipleship. And this is really what parenting is. This is your role as a mom. Your children are enlisted in your discipleship program. God has entrusted you to be the mentor of this child. He has entrusted this precious individual to you to disciple. What a great privilege. But with this comes great responsibility. Now, the term discipleship is one that's used frequently within the church, but what do we mean? Well, we need to understand that we are all on a discipleship journey, and this is lifelong. Sometimes when we think of discipleship, we define it as a six-week program that you do, you know, when you first get saved, and then you graduate to some, you know, spiritual level above discipleship, but that's not true. Okay, basically, discipleship is becoming more like Jesus. Okay, that picture we've been showing on Wednesday night, it's moving to the right. Now, when we use this term, it can mean my discipleship. So in the sense of my own pattern of following Jesus and trusting and learning from him. So I'm on my own discipleship journey. Or it can mean my activity of helping others to be disciples. And this is how we often use the term. So one writer said, "If people need to become Christians, and people need to be taught how to think, feel, and act as Christians. That is discipleship." And this describes the role of both parents, but today we're going to focus on moms. So using the above definition, your children need to become Christians and need to be taught how to think, feel, and act as Christians, and this is your task. So moms, you are entrusted to teach your children a lot of things. In fact, good parents are to prepare their children to live independently in the world. Okay, this is the goal. And hence, children need to be taught how to cook, clean, budget, interact, to work hard, to look after themselves, and so forth. Okay, there's so many things to teach in order to equip them to flourish independently, but the most important thing that you can disciple them in is the scriptures. Why? Well, verse 15, because the scriptures make them wise unto salvation. That's why this matters. Now, we need to understand the scriptures themselves don't save, but they reveal our great need to be saved, and they reveal the only means by which one can be saved. And this is the greatest need of your child's life, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And hence, moms, you need to saturate your children in the Word of God. Disciple them in the Christian life, starting with conversion, then moving into sanctification. Now, yes, I realize it is God that saves. I say amen to that. But moms, you have been entrusted with this great opportunity to saturate your children in the Scriptures, illustrate a godly life, and give them every possible opportunity to respond to the gracious gift of the gospel in a positive way. Now, perhaps you were thinking, you know, Pastor Brennan, isn't it the man's job to lead in spiritual things? And you would be right that the man should lead the home. But here's the thing, a lot of men have messed it up. A lot of men are not leading, a lot of men are not very spiritual. And you know, perhaps we need that message on Father's Day, but unfortunately, many men are not leading as they ought to, and that's a great shame. But mums, here's the encouragement. Timothy's dad was actually an unbeliever. Acts 16 verses 1 and 2 tells us that Timothy's mum was a Jew, but his dad was a Greek. He was an unsaved man. So this was not an ideal environment. But despite this, his mother and his grandmother either led him to Christ or grounded him in the faith. And God wants to use parents and grandparents to pass on an eternal legacy to their children and grandchildren. And moms, I want to encourage you, even if your husband is not the man of God that he ought to be, yes, this is less than ideal, but you can still saturate your children in the scriptures. You can disciple them in the faith and have an eternal impact on their lives. And even if your husband is leading as he ought to, you still have a crucial role to play, because you usually spend far more time with the children. They watch your example very closely, and often you have more influence. Mums, please realize the enormous effect you can have on your children. God has entrusted you to mentor them in all things, especially in spiritual things. And these dear ladies, Lois and Eunice, they set a wonderful example Okay, their life and their teaching both are required. Okay, you need the godly life and the teaching. This had an eternal impact on Timothy, and in a very real sense, okay, they shaped this man who became one of the church's most influential pastors. Okay, what you were doing as a mum matters. It's the most important task that you will undertake. You can and you will have far more impact in the home than any other sphere. You can have an eternal influence on your child. But dear mother, in the monotony and mess of motherhood, remember you are a mentor. What you are doing matters more than anything else. You have the great privilege of influencing your children in a way that nobody else does. So saturate them in the scriptures. Live the gospel out in front of your children. In fact, motherhood is practicing the gospel. It is surrender and laying down your life for the sake of another. And as you do that, you will have a great impact and influence on your family. You can make an eternal difference. And this is why motherhood matters. Secondly, I'd like to consider a mentoring moms. So your children have left home. You have completed for the most part your role as an influential mentor. Although I would argue you still have this role, but it certainly changes when your children become adults. But what I want you to understand is that your role as a mentor has not vanished. For the scriptures call the older women to mentor the younger. So please turn over to Titus chapter 2. Now as we work through this, I'm going to use the terms older women and younger women, so please don't be offended with that phraseology. If you fit into the older category, I mean that in the most respectful way. So Titus chapter 2, I want to read from verse 3. It says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." In this second chapter, Paul instructs Titus, who is a pastor in the island of Crete, how he was to teach the different categories of people within the congregation. And the apostle identifies four separate groups. There's the aged men, the aged women, the younger women, and the younger men. And each group required varying exhortations depending on their susceptibilities and their function. But there is one significant difference. The teaching of the young women was not the primary responsibility of the pastor. Now, this doesn't mean that the younger ladies were banned from listening to preaching. They weren't kicked out of the church. But the pastor was not to work as closely individually with the young women. If there was a young lady's Bible study, it shouldn't be Titus who was leading it. And hence, the older women are to be the mentors of the younger within the church. The older are entrusted with the task of teaching the younger. They are to exemplify and teach godliness with a particular emphasis on the role of wife and mother. Okay, this is the divine design for the church. The older are responsible to teach the younger good things. Okay, teachers of good things is the phrase used. And this refers to instruction that is noble, excellent, and lofty. In this context, it includes the teaching of what is holy and godly, specifically focusing on the home life. So having taught their own children, they now have the responsibility to teach the younger and encourage them to be godly wives and children. Now, perhaps you're thinking that, well, isn't that the job of the parents? especially the mothers, that they should have equipped their own daughters. And there's certainly truth in that. But you need to remember that not everybody has a mom who is a Christian. And not every Christian mom was necessarily a good mother. So consider the context of Titus. A young couple is saved out of paganism. And remember, this was a very idolatrous society, full of idols. It was a very immoral society. It was a drunkard society. So people were usually involved in quite gross sin. So this couple are being saved, and they've got no idea how to run their home according to the Bible. That they can't go to their pagan parents. They're going to be little help. So what do they do? Well, it is the older ladies in the congregation are to take this younger lady under their wing and teach and show by example what it means to be a Christian wife and mother. That's the pattern. This instruction is very clear within the church, including our church, including Condell Park. The older women have a divinely given responsibility to teach the younger, to invest in them, to be involved, to encourage, to be somebody that the younger can come to with questions about marriage and parenting. Okay, have a relationship where they can seek your wisdom and they know that you care for them. And this is what I want you to understand. Okay, we don't need an official ministry to take care of this. Okay, we don't need another program, but rather this is something that individuals should be doing. Okay, this is investing and caring in people, providing support, counsel, accountability, whatever it is. The older ladies ought to be invested in the younger, discipling them. This is God's expectation. Now, there are two things at least that hinder this. Number one, that the elderly ladies just refuse to do it, or the younger are too proud to receive it. And both are wrong. Both responses are filled with pride and they need to be avoided. So let me ask the elderly ladies, the aged ladies, are you investing in the younger? Are you helping and encouraging them through the struggles of life that you have already endured? Is there a lady or two who you are in contact with regularly, who you pray for, who you support and encourage? For this is something entrusted to you. This is one of God's purposes for you at your stage of life. And let me tell you this. The younger ladies desperately need this. They need the help of the ladies who have gone through what they're going through before and have made it out the other side. They need teaching. They need encouragement. They need examples of what it means to be a godly wife or mother. They need shoulders to cry on. They need ears to listen, mouths to give counsel. And in the church, a younger lady should never not have this. So this is the challenge. Choose one lady, start there and invest in her. Teach her, care for her, communicate with her, pray for her, because this is your divinely given task. Just because your children have grown up doesn't mean to say that you stop being a mentor. You have a crucial role to play within our church of mentoring the young ladies. I'd like to finish tonight with three brief thoughts of application to wrap all of this up. So number one, our mums matter. Mums, your role is vital. Please understand that. You can make an eternal difference in the life of your children. An eternal difference. Yes, you have a very difficult and demanding task. I've got no doubt there are times you feel unappreciated and unnoticed. But take heart that our God sees your faithfulness and he will reward abundantly. And you have this tremendous position of influence with your children. Make the most of that. And remember, you certainly matter in God's sight, even if you don't in societies. Number two, mums mentoring mums. Now, those who are older, your task is to mentor the younger ladies. You know, one-on-one encouragement, caring and supporting one another, giving counsel, discipling. The question is, are you doing this? Okay, the church will suffer drastically if the older ladies do not infuse the things of God in the younger. So there's the challenge. And number three, we need to appreciate our mums. Okay, we can all be guilty of not appreciating our mum and taking her for granted. And let me encourage you today to be grateful for your mum. To be grateful for all that she has done for you, particularly if you have a godly mother. That's a tremendous blessing. And make your appreciation known. Okay, if there are any children listening right now, Pastor Brendan has a very special message just for you. Okay, you should love your mummy and you should tell her how much you love her. Tell her how thankful you are for everything that she does for you. Okay, you should tell her that every day, but you should tell her that especially today. And you know what? It's not only about what you say, but it's also what you do. Okay, you show that you love mummy and appreciate her by listening and obeying her. So tonight, before you go to bed, make sure you tell mummy how much you love her and appreciate her. And you know, for those of us who are husbands, we need to ensure that our wives are honored, that our children treat them well, respect them and appreciate them. For if we set the example, then the children will follow. Our motherhood is practicing the gospel. It's surrender, laying down your life for the sake of another. And moms, live the gospel in every area. Your testimony to the gospel in the little details of your life is more valuable to your children than you can ever imagine. Now, if you tell them the gospel but don't live it, they probably won't believe it. And moms, may you continue by God's grace, by the enabling and empowering of the Holy Spirit to live and illustrate the gospel in your home, to your children and to all who watch on. For this is an incredibly powerful testimony, and it will draw people to Jesus Christ, including your own children. Amen. Let's pray. Now, Father, we do thank you for our mums, and we want to pray for them, that they have such a vital task that they are undertaking. And we pray that the mums in our congregation would not get swept away with worldly philosophies, but that they would remember the great privilege they have to be a mum. God has entrusted a dear child to them. And may they be living the gospel and influencing their children positively. Oh Lord, may the aged women be obedient and be teaching the younger. May this be the culture in our church. Lord, help us all to appreciate our mums. Pray for the mums within our congregation. Help them as they undertake this important duty this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.